Burrow is 8 of 15, barely over 50%. Goes deep down the left sideline, and that's caught. That's T. Higgins to the end zone.
Hey, some football. Not, you know, Tua concussion stuff for a moment here. We get back to calls and, of course, continue talking about Tua. Two football things. One, Burrow to Higgins there, that's a cover zero. And it's something the Bills never hit against Miami. You know, the Dolphins didn't give them a lot of cover zero in the second half of that game.
Yeah, they blitzed a little bit less as the game went on, yeah.
But the Bills never hit a long shot against Miami, and Cincinnati did. But the other thing is, the one guy that I saw his usage yesterday and thought that should be what the Bills are doing is the Dolphins with Chase Edmonds. They motioned Edmonds out. They threw to Edmonds in the end zone. Tua had a nice pass on the opening drive to Chase Edmonds that he did not catch, and they had to settle for a field goal. But Howard, Joe and I talked yesterday about James Cook and how the Bills – we expect him to be used. He's a second-round pick. He's supposed to be speed and a matchup problem for other teams, and this was going to be the, you know, addition to their offense, and it has not happened yet. And Edmonds, every time they gave the ball to Edmonds or threw to Edmonds or shovel pass to Edmonds, I thought that's what James Cook's role is supposed to be on this Bills team.
I had a note about him. I was writing down different storylines for the game, so I'm glad you guys brought this up because I did write this down for a number of different reasons, getting him more involved, more so in the passing game. In no particular order, I saw a stat from Bill Barnwell about, well, I guess league-wide, more teams are going to two deep shells defensively. And I saw a stat from Barnwell, and I think it was like Josh faced two deep 51% of the time. Last year, it's 63% or something through the first three games. It's gone up. So this is, you know, so you talk about, you know, make them throw it underneath, right? You know, just get the ball out, yards after catch, all that. So I thought about Cook because of a couple of things. What, now, I don't know how much Baltimore's going to blitz. I don't know if they'll be as aggressive as Miami. The Baltimore secondary is not as good as the Dolphins. Actually, Baltimore's pass rush has been almost non-existent. So, but the idea of when teams are blitzing and throwing to running backs, Devin Singletary had a ton of catches last week. I think 16 of Josh's completions went to backs last week. And one other factor is this whole discussion about, you know, the running game's not that efficient. And this is where we talk about, well, sometimes the short passing game is considered a running play. All right, Cook in space for a short pass. I don't know, a screen, a check down. Singletary's been very effective. Just, you know, stay in the block, run up the middle a few yards, turn around, boom, there's your outlet pass in the middle for a quick hit to a running back, and then maybe tax on a few yards after catch. So I did think about Cook for a number of reasons, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that can check a few different boxes, plus who knows what the weather's going to be like and how that might impact downfield passes. I think Cook could check a few different boxes for the Bills offense on Sunday, and I think he's a difficult matchup. I'm not sure who Baltimore would put up against him if they had to match up against James Cook. 803-0552. I would like to see Dawson Knox too. I know you, I think we, you and I brought this up, I don't remember, earlier this week. He's got 7 catches in 3 games, and this has nothing to do with the big contract. I think he's a talented football player, and he's a good weapon in the passing offense. 7 catches for 71 yards in 3 games. They need to find a way to get him more involved in the passing game, especially if you're down a weapon or two. If Davis doesn't play, you know, Kumerow's not going to play. I'd like to see the ball get to Knox more often, maybe even red zone. Like, he's obviously a big target in the red zone, and it seems like he has not been that involved through the first 3 games of the season in the passing game. Let's go. We'll get connected with our fans, by the way. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber & O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Chris in Toronto, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Just have a comment on the Tua thing. Mac's wife and I, we text every Bills game, like all throughout, massive Bills fans. And whenever any player goes down, like, either team, doesn't matter. You don't want to see anybody injured. You want to see them back in the game. And with Tua going out, it just felt like, man, if Teddy Bridgewater's in, it's almost not even a fair fight the rest of the game. And you want to see him back. But you knew, or I felt, when you saw the way he got up and did the Bambi on ice, he was not coming back. When he came back in, I mean, it was crazy. It was great, but you still had this feeling in the back of your head. I did not watch the game last night, but I got a text from her, and I saw the injury this morning. I don't know. That just kind of makes me
cringe.
I know you guys have talked about it all morning.
Yeah. But, no, it's different. It's difficult to watch, right? Because you're worried that this guy's going to, you know, be seriously injured, harmed, fall down and collapse. It's just, yeah.
Absolutely, and he played such a good game before. And the Milano hit, I don't even think that was flag-worthy. I mean, I know the way things have gotten now, I guess it is. But, he was getting the ball out quick. We couldn't get to him, and you saw what he did in the second half when he came back. Like, I hate the Dolphins, obviously, but love the way the kids turned it around.
Sure.
But my question, because it's been bugging me for a while, do you guys think... if Cole Beasley didn't have the whole COVID thing, I know he's up there in age.
Yeah.
I love Isaiah McKenzie, but that Beasley security blanket would be a lovely thing to have. Would you think if he didn't do the whole COVID mess, we would have brought him back?
No. I think if he took less money, they would have considered it. I think if he might have played on Crowder's contract, they might have considered it.
Okay, yeah. No.
I liked him. I know, you know, all the stuff about COVID. You could see his production was beginning to dwindle. It was going to go down. It was going down, actually. And I think over time, I think the Bills had maybe if the COVID thing factored at all, I don't think it was the main deciding factor. I think you're talking about a guy whose production was coming down. He's getting beat up. He was having trouble staying healthy. They're obviously trying to manage his snaps, his practice routine, all that. As Jeremy mentioned, throw in his contract, his cap number, the savings, the Bills cap situation. So I think a lot of factors came into play. I think you could look at going into the offseason as Beasley as one of those guys who would have been in danger because of his contract and his production going down and the fact that he was just, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world and he has no regard for his body. And I mean that in terms of trying to make plays for his football team. So I wasn't surprised he was let go. I don't know if that was a factor. I think it was more about football and, hey, we need some cap space too. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It is Football Friday. Excuse me. We're taking your calls on Tua, the concussion last night, what's been going on the last few days, how the league is handling all this. Somebody was on hold. I think they wanted to make this point. Or maybe it was a tweet. Doesn't matter. The whole thing about the system. Oh, somebody was on hold and they wanted to talk about, you know, you have to protect the players from themselves. Which is true, by the way, because as you said, Jeremy, what guy is, you know, most players are going to say, I'm good, let me get back in there. So this is what the league did, and this is why this situation is frustrating, because I'm wondering what the next step is. All right, you want to protect the players from themselves? Okay, we have the medical staff. The medical staff gets the final say. I know Sean McDermott talks about this, right? He's the football coach. The trainers and the medical staff get the final say about whether a guy is supposed to play. Now, you might look at that and go, well, who's going to trust the medical staff? They're going to want the guy to play because they work for, the medical staff is employed by the team, and the team needs to win football games. So how do you trust the medical staff? Okay, so the NFL put in the next check and balance or whatever, the next protection, which was the independent neurologist who goes down to the locker room and does the examination on the player. That's supposed to prevent someone coming in because either the player says, I'll be okay, or the team says, we really need this game. You got to go back in. This independent, no tie to the team person is supposed to counter that. So that's part of this discussion and the question I have. If that failed, what's the next step? What does the NFL do if the process failed because the independent neurologist let Tua Tagovailoa go back in when, this is Bill's game, by the way, when perhaps he shouldn't have gone in? So they've built in some things to protect it, but I guess I'm wondering, if this didn't work, what do you do next? Other than just have a policy of, if you look like that, if you obviously look like you're having trouble with balance, you just don't go back into the football game. And you just take the pads off, the guy's done, and you start a process of medically checking the person out with neurologists. 803. Anyway, we're talking about that and the Bills-Ravens game. 803-0550 to join us. Football Friday. Reminder, you have a chance to win tickets to a Bills home game this season. That's right. Two Toyota Club passes to a Bills home game. You can spend a quarter in the WGR broadcast booth with Steve Tasker and Eric Wood as well. And there's more involved in this. If you'd like to register for your chance to win, it is the Labatt Blue Light Game Day Sweeps. Go to WGR550.com to enter. You must be 21 or older. There is no purchase necessary.